Uncle Pop. Hey, guys.
What's up, guys? Welcome into the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. Dudes talking news, sports, and God. Good news, everybody. Funko Pro Greg Walden is back. How are you, Funko Pro Greg Walden?
I'm doing great.
All the way back from the land of
Fruta.
Colorado. Man, I was in Arkansas, which is a heavenly place, but I think maybe just a step above is good old Grand Junction, Colorado. Give us the breakdown. What's going down in Colorado?
Well, it was pretty toasty while the week we were there. Monday through Friday, it was up in the upper 90s. We even hit 100 on the Wednesday we was up there.
Where is it not toasty in America right now? It feels like global warming. I mean, all that good stuff, right?
But the hot tomato was still there, and life was good.
Yeah, so if you have not been out to the western part of Colorado, bordering Utah there, Grand Junction, definitely put that on the bucket list for sure, I think. So
yes.
Anyway, I'm glad you had a good time. Arkansas, we both had a little refreshing time. Now we're back to it. Modern Christian Dudes, Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God. So we got great stuff to cover today. The first thing I want to cover, Funko Pro Greg Walden, is would you agree that our society, there is a reduction in masculinity, or that they're challenging that? Masculinity is being challenged at greater levels than ever before. Well, I found this article. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it says, a leading expert said one of the top reasons for a lack or a reduction in masculinity in America, one of the probable or likely causes is the e-bike. E-bike is reducing masculinity. That leading expert was me, Greg Walden, in my research. I don't know, man. I was mountain biking too the last few days. These e-bikers, I'm not liking this. You know, they were passing me the other day, and I was like, "What? You're on an e-bike, man. Take no pride in your passing of me."
I was talking with a guy at the bike shop. He's retired, but he kind of hangs around over the edge. His name is Kirk, and we've gotten into e-bike discussion. Of course, you know, he's 79 now. There are cases to be made. There is case to be made for and against. I mean, I'm not saying e-bikes are glorious and all that stuff. Oh, sorry. But anyways, for people like Kirk said, he wouldn't be able to mountain bike if it was for the e-bike because he's got joint issues and stuff like that. He's 79 years old. So, I mean, he's like, if he weren't for the e-bike, he'd be off the trail a long time ago. But then he also says there's 20-year-olds coming in there. I mean, fit and there's no reason why for them to get an e-bike, but they get an e-bike and they go out there and they drive like and they ride like crazy. And it's like, they don't need an e-bike, but
I'm going to take pride in that. I'm not on the e-bike yet. I was a little, when you're not riding all the time, you start biking. It's like, man, my skills are diminished for sure. Cause you got practice.
We're going to talk about that. I'm telling you this, the e-bike. Now there was stuff I rode in Moab and there's stuff I rode in Fruta that I probably would not have been able to ride on my regular analog mountain bike.
Yeah.
But the e-bike just gives you a little extra info. And I was riding over chunk and stuff. I mean, I was riding some really technical stuff. Like, I wouldn't have been able to ride it if it wasn't for that little extra oomph, the motor gear.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know. It could be true or not true. Yeah. E-bikes ruining masculinity. And the second one here I found, Greg Walden, article was on also leading expert talking about government workers taking excessive amounts of vacation time. And this particular article said some concern about who might be taking more governmental vacation time, President Joe Biden or Greg Walden.
Joe Biden.
That's a fake article too. I wrote that one as well. So one's reading my articles, but
I am very frugal with my vacation time.
you are Funko Program. Yeah. You take less vacation time than Joe Biden.
That's well, here's for the sure. thing. Again, it's a
President, you know, Joe Biden.
We have a certain amount of leave. There's a certain amount of leave we can have. And then obviously anything over that, she's called use or lose. So every leave I take is basically all my use or lose. I keep my core balance right there where it needs to be.
Okay.
That means for the first few years of employment, you're not taking leave. You're building that little leave nest egg up.
Okay.
Then once you hit that magic 240 hours, then anything over that is grease on the pig.
Okay.
And so so after about maybe 4 or 5 years, you can start just taking your use or lose and take, you know, a couple of weeks, and then you're never touching that core 240.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Obviously news that not exclusively, but news that I might listen to probably has a little bit more of a central right-leaning leaning conservative. Yeah. So I know they're giving President Joe Biden a hard time about all this vacation he's taken.
Yeah, I mean,
like a month off.
Every president takes every president. I mean, I don't know how many, you know, golfing, doing golfing stuff. I mean, there's probably other things to worry about. What's more impressing in our national security than, you know, guy went and played golf. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it. Some good sports talk here today. I got a bunch of ones to pull up here. We are tech guys. You know, we cover tech. I like to make a lot of videos, and you were the one who got me into the GoPro game. Yep. And GoPro just released a brand new GoPro Hero 12 today. What do you think? What's your breakdown on that, Funko Pro Greg Walden, for the techies listening right now? GoPro Hero 12.
Well, the GoPro Hero 12, the most of the leaks, well, not the first leak. The first leak definitely was not true, but the second leak was pretty much spot on, but they did miss a few. The leaks did miss a few features.
Okay.
Mainly the feature they missed was that the GoPro is now allowing with the Hero 12, you can use a wireless Bluetooth wireless headphones as a mic. Yeah.
Audio has been a big thing, right? Yeah. That'd be interesting. The product details here I got in front of me from their website includes Hero 2 12 black camera, Enduro rechargeable battery, curved adhesive mount, HDR high dynamic range video photo for vivid images, 2 times longer continuous recording at 5.3K 60, 1.5 hours at 5.3K 30, and over 2.5 hours at 1080p 30. So works exclusively with Max Lens Mod 2.0 for an industry leading 177 field of view in 4K 60, hyper smooth 6.0. Their stabilization is great. New Bluetooth audio support works with AirPods, other headphones as wireless mics. Large image sensor captures ultra wide 156 field of view. So 1-inch sensor, did they do that or no?
No.
Okay. No. So anyway, and I don't like this crazy super wide. I'm not a huge fan of that.
Well,
or at least not like a chesty mount or when your arms are in the photo. I noticed like if you get your body in the photo, like when I was mountain biking, doing the super wide, my arms look excessively long and kind of funky.
Well, yeah, if you go to hyperview, it's even worse. But basically the 12 is nothing but an 11 with HDR and the Bluetooth audio added. That's pretty much it. And of course,
$399. They stayed within their typical bracket. Are you going to buy it or what?
No.
No.
Well,
one more version,
unless the wife buys it for me.
Oh, geez, here we go.
She bought me the 11 last year. I'm trying to talk into doing it this year, but
get it this year. Yeah, I mean,
I can't. Well, the problem is like, if I don't get it, then I'm breaking my tradition.
You are breaking your tradition.
I don't want to
break a tradition. I'll be okay with you. Well, I don't know about Big Ben. Ask you.
But
you
might. There's another feature I forgot. There's another feature. Of course, it only works with multiple Hero 12s. But if you have like multiple Hero 12s. You can sync the time on all of them, so it makes multi video editing a lot simpler. It'll actually line them up for you.
Oh, very cool.
So using the app, obviously.
I don't think I'll get it. Like I said, I'm kind of in line for potentially a new mirrorless camera this year. That might be my big boy purchase.
I would say your mirrorless camera would probably be a more wiser investment than the Hero 12, because you've already got the Hero 11.
Yeah, I got the 11. That was my big boy purchase last year. All righty. Well, culture is so interesting, and we live in the age of social media where it's funny and interesting to see people that will just get excessively popular super fast. Yeah. And I pulled up this article because I think it's interesting. John Cooper on Joe Rogan's response to Oliver Anthony reading Proverbs 4:20. Anyway, a viral sensation, Oliver Anthony. Have you heard this guy before?
No, I haven't heard him.
Whose real name is Christopher Anthony Lunsford, joined Joe Rogan on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast this week. During his interview, the two discussed mental health, pornography, government, songwriting, and what changed in Anthony's life that brought him his overnight success. Anthony, 31, who lives with his wife and two children in a 27-foot camper in South Central Virginia, shot to number one on Billboard's Hot 100 after his Richmond, north of Richmond. You've heard this song, haven't you? Richmond, north of Richmond.
I haven't listened.
This guy's a viral sensation. Video released on YouTube and racked up over 12.5 million views. To date, the video has garnered a staggering 52 million views. The country singer told Rogan that playing in front of large crowds is quite foreign to him, sharing that it would have been a different experience for him prior to committing his life to Jesus as he suffered from severe anxiety. So anyway, the song is all about hey, we're poor, you know, it's for the common man, for the middle class, lower class man, like ourselves or whatever. Well, me, at least, you know, I don't know about you there, Funko Pro, but anyway, it just became super big. But I loved how it just gave a clear, simple message, but then he attributed a lot of that song, Life Change, to Jesus Christ. And it's always interesting to watch Joe Rogan kind of try to manage and navigate someone who's super passionate about Jesus Christ. Joe Rogan, he's getting the Christians on the show lately. I encourage you also to check out, he had Hulk Hogan on a few podcasts ago. Hogan just preaching the gospel on there, talking about his life has changed since he's really committed himself to Christ. And that was a really cool episode too. So
I'll have to check that out.
Maybe Rogan's going to get saved here. He's getting all these people coming on, talking about Jesus on his show. So anyway, I pulled up that article. I thought that was super cool. What you got over there, Funko Pro Greg Walden?
Alrighty. Yep. This is your summertime. Well, it's late summertime, but you ever like having lemonade or a drink out and you're getting ready, you're just sitting back outside enjoying this, enjoying the back porch and the fly lands in your drink.
Yes.
The question is, should you drink it?
If I can get the fly out of there, I'm still drinking it. Is that bad?
Well, that's the question. the question is if
fly, I'm not drinking the fly, but yeah. You know, if I can get the fly out of there, I'm going to drink it.
Come on, have you actually swallowed a fly by accident in your life?
I think I have. Yeah.
I think most of us have, like, especially right. You know, over the Middle East when I was eating. I think I had one in my land in my applesauce and I didn't catch it in time.
Well, isn't there the stat to, like, not to get it distracted here, off course, but there's like an article that says you'll swallow like up to 7 spiders in your lifetime during your sleep or whatever, crawling in your mouth.
Yeah, you've probably eaten a few insects without realizing it, but I mean, I think we all survived. Most of us survived it. But you pour a chilled glass of your favorite beverage and are about to take a sip and a fruit fly lands in it. The fly is clearly dead, but given what you know about where the fly is hanging out, you wonder if it's still safe to drink. Obviously, won't get too gross on the show, but flies are not very picky about where they land and do their thing.
So. Okay. So your lemonade, you're going to finish there? Your lemonade has fly urine and feces in it when you drink it.
So they, despite their sounding name, fruit flies eat food that is decaying. They inhabit rubbish bins, compost heaps, or any place where food is present, including drains. Rotting food is rich in germs, any which a fly can pick up on their body and transfer it to where it next lands. The bacteria include E. coli, Listeria, Shigella, and Salmonella, any of which can cause potentially serious infection, even healthy people. So basically, so they say, you may just wash the sound. They're talking about different drinks, but some being alcoholic, blah, 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 blah. But you don't want to go into that one.
Moral of the story is you could be drinking lots of interesting stuff after the fly lands in your lemonade.
Unless, so you can remove the fly and drink the fluid, or if you want the extra protein, you could even swallow the fly. So I guess it's like probably not as big of a deal as, but if you're squeamish, you can always pick the fly out.
it's probably more mental, I would think, for me. It'd be like more mental, just the texture of the fly going down my throat. That'd probably bother me a little bit.
Flies are not really high on my, flies are high on my, list of foods I would like to partake in, but I would.
So, moral of the story, we should or should not drink
lemonade? Well, I would just dump the whole thing and get a new glass of water or whatever.
You would, you're that kind of guy, Greg. I think it's, it's like I'm more of a missionary, so I got to build immunity to these type of things for various countries I go to preach the gospel. Me, it's a win, essentially. I'm going to call it a win on that one. So, all right, bouncing over here, I found on techusatoday.com, Disney Plus deal, stream service, $1.99 monthly for 3 months. Looks like I'll be subscribing to Disney Plus here again, Greg Walden. But here's the bad news. Okay, if you strayed away from Disney Plus during the summer, that was me. Yes, how many of you? Service has a promotion to get you back on board now through September 20th. I better pull my phone up here. New and returning customers can subscribe to Disney Plus basic tier with ads for $1.99 per month for 3 months. The regular month price is $7.99. So you could save $18 over a 3 month period. I'm literally going to do that once we get off the podcast. So, because I got to watch a little bit of the soak. I do want to check that out. Over those 3 months, you get access to the newest animated Pixar film, Elemental. Then you get The Little Mermaid. Don't care about that. New Star Wars series, Ahsoka. So very interesting there. But here's the catch. They're doing this because what's going to happen? The prices are going to go up. Their streaming is going to go from $7.99 to $10.99 to $13.99. So Disney Plus is going up.
Oh, that's crazy.
So let's give you a good deal before we sucker you out of some more money. You're going to lose.
Yeah,
you're
going to
lose.
Gonna, yeah, it's like everything. they're going to get you one way or another.
Very interesting. We're not talking about that today on the show, but I do find that interesting. Disney Plus, which is owned by ESPN, ABC, that whole umbrella of companies are owned together. Yeah. ESPN is really struggling right now, and they're talking about, are they going to sell ESPN? Disney, talking about, is Disney going to be sold too as well? Because they're struggling. So a lot of these streaming services, the cable, all this stuff, it's a very interesting world that we're going to approach in the next few years when it comes to how you consume content, streaming. Cable's the big one. Cable's going down, dude. Cable, regular news is going to go down here in the next few years. So that all is very, very fascinating. But there you go. How about that, guys? That's a good one for you. If you need to subscribe to Disney Plus, go get it now. That's what I'll do. 3 months for $1.99.
I bought the yearly package.
You bought like the 20-year package, I think, right?
I got the month before I actually released the service. And it was a really good deal because it was like $160, but it amounted to like $4 a month. So it wasn't bad at all. And it was good for 3 years.
Yeah, that was a good deal.
And then that expired last year. And then I just bought it for a year. Like, it still saves some money by just getting it for a year.
The annual. That's how they get you as well. Try to get you that annual. But I'm a month-by-month guy because, you know, I'm going to be canceling on you pretty soon, no matter who you are.
They're going to catch you. They're going to catch on to you. They're going to catch on to you real shortly.
They're going to start charging me more because, hey, you're the one guy that can resubscribe. All righty. Let's bounce over. It is going to start. The NFL season is going to start this Thursday night. It's going to kick it off with our Kansas City Chiefs. So what's your thoughts on the NFL season thus far? Maybe your overall predictions or hot takes. Not a comprehensive or in-depth, but just some of your basic thoughts coming into the NFL season.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be playing the Lions possibly without Kelce.
He hyperextended
his knee during practice.
Yep.
So he might be a questionable for tomorrow.
He is questionable, which I was trying to explain that to my son. Hyperextended knee, can you explain that? Do you have an understanding of
just hyperextended knee? Hyperextended knee is basically where your leg goes. Obviously, you're straightened out, but if it you got a force that pushes your knee in
the wrong way.
Yeah, and it can hyperextend.
Yeah, and that could have been bad because I know they started looking at, like, is this ACL okay?
Right. It could be a ligament issue, you know, stuff like that, you know.
Could have been bad, very bad. So, anyway, clearly we live in the Red Kingdom. We live in Chiefs land here. But I think if you're a sane person, fairly analytical, the Chiefs are probably the team to beat at this point as the season begins.
And then they also have the Chris Jones debacle that's still been going on for months and months and months. I guess they offered him some money, and I guess he's like, that only put me the second most time. But so they're like, come on, dude, really?
Yeah. You know, I cannot blame these NFL guys. You know, they're, when it comes to like MLB, NBA, NFL, their lifespan is so short. And I know they're making amounts of money we'll never make, but you got to get your money while you can get it.
Here's the thing. I mean, so,
that's where I kind of roll with them a little bit.
Well, here's the thing is, most, all these NFL players like this, Chris Jones, I'm sure I can guarantee he's probably like the rest of them. They go out and they just live beyond their means, buying Lamborghinis and $50,000 square mansions. Well, yeah, I'm going to need the money because I got to pay for that Lamborghini and my five Ferraris and stuff. It's like, if you would just live like a normal human being, if I could play, if they paid me even $10 million for a couple of years, I mean, I live frugal like a normal human being would have to. I could just play football for 3 years and retire.
Yeah, I did like a quick estimate one time just in my brain of like from where I'm at age wise now. It's like if I could like live super comfortably for the rest of my life, I'd only need like $2 million, and that's super comfortable, right? So you put that in context of these guys that are making 30, 40 mil. Yeah. A year, right? And I calculate in my brain, I'm like, dude, I think I could live super, super comfortable, like $2 million if I lived to like
some of these people, their shoe closets are bigger than my house.
Yeah, that is true. So anyway, I don't know. That's just such a game that we'll never be connected to and truly understand.
Be honest with you, I'm kind of glad. I mean, it's nice to be able to have a job and be able to support myself and the family, but I mean I wouldn't want to get the problem is you get so much money and it gets to your head and then becomes then you have the danger of money becoming your master.
Yep. Just read the Bible.
Yeah.
Solomon had everything and found himself being like, oh, life is just so meaningless, right? So that's what money.
And money doesn't bring you joy.
That's all
you
have.
I mean, a lot of people are like, man, if I had $70 million, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't.
Right.
If you're not happy now, you're not going to be happy with $74 million because the source of joy is Jesus, not your money.
That's right. So anyway, NFL, my prediction, this is just overall prediction. I'm going to take the Niners and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And with a little bit of hesitation, I'm going to go Chiefs back-to-back championships. That's my predictions. Niners, and that's with Hezekiah and I. Hey, Dad, Let's Talk Sports podcast. If you haven't heard that one, that was our predictions. I am a Minnesota Vikings guy. I just think they're going to fall short. I think they're going to have a solid team. Very interesting, though. Tom Brady's gone. We talked about Tom Brady's gone for the year. Talked about Aaron Rodgers over at the New York Jets. Talked about the return of the Chiefs, you know, back-to-back championships. Patriots, you know, are they going to continue their slide? A lot of interesting things happening. Lamar Jackson signed a big deal. He's back. Many people saying the Browns are going to be an up-and-coming team. A lot of people think the Lions, this is a great chance to steal a dub here tomorrow night. So
they could do it, especially because of Kelsey being out and Chris Jones holding out. They could, you know, and the way the Chiefs like to play, they could pull a win. The Lions could pull a win out of this one.
I hope you never hold out on the show here, Greg Walden, on the MCD. Like, you're I'm not coming back on the pod.
You're not paying me. I'm just doing this for free. So.
Don't tell the audience that. Okay, anyway.
Sorry, guys.
They think you're a multimillionaire. You know, you may not have a Lamborghini, but you do almost have every GoPro.
Almost.
Which is, you know, that's pretty awesome. So, anyway, any other news that you got over there, Funko Pro Greg Walden? No. NFL starts Thursday night. Amazon Prime. You need an Amazon Prime account. So, if you got Disney Plus, but you don't have Amazon Prime, you're not going to be able to watch the game. So.
Well, Amazon, I think they must have canceled me months ago because – all of a sudden, like I said, my Prime, there's something wrong with my Prime. And I call them up and say, hey, what's up? Oh, there's some issue with your card. Not really an issue with my card because my card works. And it's like, they can't fix it. And it's like, you know, I just don't need Prime. Don't need Prime then. So,
yeah. Jeff Bezos. All right. All these streaming devices ran by these ungodly guys. Anyway. All right. Hey, I want to give a spiritual truth here today, Funko Pro Greg Walden. And I feel bad because I do several podcasts. One is called Grace Point Daily Podcast. And a lot of those podcasts are just 5 to 10 minute essentially devotionals that come out of life experiences. So when I go on a good trip, then all my devotionals revolve around mountain biking for like the next 10 devotionals. So I apologize to people
who are
like, I'm sick of his mountain biking illustrations. So I am going to take it in a couple different directions. I'll start off with this for those that don't like the mountain biking. Okay. There's this thing called the 10,000 hour rule. Have you ever heard of this before? 10,000 hour rule?
Never heard of it.
Okay. Let me just break it down shortly. But throughout his book, there's a guy named Gladwell. He wrote a book that he repeatedly refers to the 10,000 hour rule, asserting that the key to achieving true expertise in any skill is simply a matter of practicing, albeit in the correct way, for at least 10,000 hours. So he's saying, like, if you're going to be a pro baseball player, basketball player, NFL player, there's the 10,000 hour rule that if you are going to maximize or be excellent, be pro level at what said, you know, whatever it is, could be video editing, could be mountain biking.
Right.
It's the 10,000 hour rule. That's what he holds to. So you get a lot of these people that really believe in this 10,000 hour rule. Okay. And the whole goal be, I mean, it's kind of practical, right? The more time you spend doing something, hopefully you should be getting better at it, right? And that's kind of that's the quick summary, basically. Whether it's 10,000 hours, I'm sure there's some people that are extraordinary in terms of physical or mental ability that only need 1,000 or 5,000. And there's some people like, you know, if you and I spent, you know, I was a decent basketball player, but I could probably spend 10,000 hours playing basketball, but I still wouldn't be good enough to be in the NBA, right? These kind of things. But the moral of the story is, you know, the more you practice something, the better that you are going to get.
Right.
And then I'll also tag that, and then I'll finally get to scripture, which is the most important. But I noticed the other day when I was mountain biking, because I have spent the majority of the summer gravel biking, right? And gravel biking isn't super technical. It is physical. I was doing long rides, et cetera, those kind of things. So there was some, an element of physical activity to it. But what I noticed as I was mountain biking the other day, I hadn't mountain biked legitimately, you know, been on single track mountain biking for 3 or 4 months or 5 months or something like that. Yeah. And I was frustrated with myself because I wasn't able to, you know, because I know who I've been in the past. You know, when I was mountain biking consistently, I could ride so much better, faster. I could navigate things so much better. So here I'm now getting frustrated. People are passing me. You know, I'm having to, you know, pull over, take a break. I'm like, oh man. And why was I not as good? I'm just out of
shape.
I'm out of shape. I'm out of practice. You know, I haven't been practicing, you know, riding my bike. And here's where I'm going to tag it spiritually. All right. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, here's what it says, practice these things in daily life, and the God who is the source of peace and well-being will be with you. So you know what Paul writing all these New Testament letters, 16 of the 29 New Testament letters, he was writing about spiritual truths and principles that the church should practice, yeah. Right? And because his desire was that they would grow in the Lord, right? That they would essentially, that the kingdom would keep building. It wasn't like, okay, Jesus here, we're saved. Cool, now we can put it in park. Just relax, hang out. No, he was saying like, no, these things that you've learned, this relationship with the Lord, now practice these things each and every day and then grow and increase in them in your spiritual walk and your journey with the Lord. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm super spiritual, but what I am saying is that I'm a pastor and that I a lot of times throughout my journey of ministry, I've interacted with people that are so in and out of their faith walk, right? You know, it's right. Like 1 month on, 2 months off, 3 months on, 4 months off, one day on, five, you know, and it's like, and you can never get, here's what I wrote in my notes here the other day, is that you can never get great at something that you don't practice.
Right, sure.
So if you want to be a great Christian, you're going to have to practice Christianity. It's going to have to be a daily practice. And so then, you know, yeah, again, I'm kind of, you know, I'm just using generalizations here. But then, you know, I've interacted with people that they're frustrated about where their Christianity is at, but they're not practicing it on a regular basis. And so why would you expect to be a great Christian if you don't practice Christianity?
Well, it goes with our society. People want things just tossed in their lap.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in this application, it's not going to be tossed in your lap. You've got to get out and do it. I mean, God's not going to just magically, you know, put a cape on your back and you go around, you know, leap, you know, flying over leaps. He expects you to put your faith in action. I mean, you got to take the step to put your faith in action. I mean, like you want to, like, I want to go be a preacher. I want to preach to 5,000 people, but you can't even talk to one person about Jesus.
Oh,
if you can't talk to one person about Jesus, how are you going to talk to five? Yeah. How are you going to preach in front of 5,000 people?
Right.
Yep. Honestly, be honest with ourselves. If you can't talk to one person, don't ask to go talk to 5,000 people. Learn to talk to the one person first.
Yep. My specific quote that I wrote in my notes when I was writing was, you can't be great at something you never practice.
Right.
You know, you can't be great at it. And so if you want to be a great, I want to be a great Christian, don't you? I mean, isn't that the goal? Like I want to be a great Christian. I want to be a great follower of Christ. Well, then I'm going to have to practice. And that's clearly what the scripture is telling me. So I took, you know, that physical thing that I was doing into my spiritual life and be like, man, I need to practice the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Practice these things, and I love how this is reading on the Amplified, practice these things in daily life, and God, who is the source of peace and well-being, will be with you. And so we always have to toe the line there. At least this is what we believe theologically, right, Greg Walden, is that, like, you can't be a great Christian on your own. You can be a great Christian with the help of God, with God's help each and every day, right? So if you're trying to, you know, be in your own strength and ability, be a great Christian.
It's impossible.
No, not going to happen.
You need the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life to give you the power to live the Christian life. That's why you can't be a faker. That's why you can't be a poser or a Joey. And like the mountain bike, where we call it Joey.
Okay.
Somebody who's like, he buys an $8,000 mountain bike, has all the gear, but you never see him on the trail.
Yeah.
So he's just a poser. So you can't pose Christianity because the human, flesh doesn't have the power to live a Christian life.
Yeah,
you can maybe fool people for a while, but they're going to, after a while, the covers, the peels, the onion peels are going to come off, and like, hey, you're just a Joey. But you need, that's why God gives us the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit gives us the power to live the Christian life.
Yep, amen. Great point. Yeah, absolutely. So I just really took that thought with me the other day. It's like, you know, run with this wherever you want to go. 10,000 hour rule. If you want to be great at something, you got to practice, you know. It's going into football season, you know, if you want to be a great team, great quarterback, great receiver, you know, you got to practice. If I want to become a better mountain biker, well, I'm going to have to practice more. You know, my skills are, you know, here's the reality. If you never practice something, there's only two things that are going to happen, is your skills in that area are either going to, one, stay the same, mm-hmm. or most likely diminish or decline, right?
Well, I think they're going to, if you don't do like Paul said, I think you'll most likely will deteriorate, because then the cares of the world start coming in.
Yep.
Then the excuses start coming in.
Yeah.
And now you're, next thing you know, you're just sitting in a pew. Maybe even stop going to church like you're supposed to. I mean, the cares of the world get into people's lives.
Yep.
And then the effect, if you're not constantly like putting on the armor, like the Bible says, put on the full armor of God.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee the people who are not practicing are not putting on their armor either as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also being obedient to God's call in your life. You know, God puts a ministry opportunity. Am I going to obey God or not? I mean, I can use my own example. When I first got down here, I mean, I never taught kids before. I mean, I was, Pastor Justin's like, hey, would you like to be a Sunday school teacher? I'm like, I don't know. I'm nervous, dude.
No.
But you know, I'm kind of like, dude, I don't know how I'm going to handle kids. But you know, like, you know, I think, you know what, if that's something I need to do, I'm going to do it. And yeah. I was nervous the first few months. I mean, I was nervous how to handle kids. But after doing it, it's like, now I'm getting into the flow, doing it. And I got commitment to it now and actually enjoy doing it.
Wow. So I was like, yeah, praise God.
So it's not that I was any type of, I'm not like I'm any type of super Christian. I'm not telling you I'm a Superman or anything like that. It's just a matter of, you know, if God lays a ministry in front of you,
he says, will you do this?
Even though you might, and guarantee it, when God asks you to do something, it's not going to be something you know how to do.
Yeah. Yes.
It's not going to be something you have. You're not going to be saying, oh yeah, Superman. You know, it's going to be something that you feel uncomfortable with. Guarantee. Yep. It's going to be something you feel uncomfortable with, that you don't feel equipped to do it. But that way, because when you do it, God gets the glory, not yourself.
Yep. Amen.
So you're willing to be obedient.
Yeah. And it's, you know, when you don't practice something and then you want to just dive back into the thing that you haven't been practicing, that's hard, man. That's super hard. I mean, it's like, you know, I've never been a great runner, but there were points in my life where I was running more in terms of physical activity. And there was nothing worse than, say, I'd run, say, a few times a week. And there is nothing worse than not running for like a week and a half, and then going out and running.
Right.
It was just so horrible.
But if you had people there to encourage you.
Yeah.
Last week, I used this as my example. We got out to a place called Wrangler, and there was this like 1.5, maybe 2 foot ledge. And they were like, hey, Greg, go out there and actually ride up this thing. I'm like, I don't know, man. Cause I mean, my thing is like, if I ride up and dab, I'm going to fall down and possibly bust myself. And I'm like, but they kept encouraging me to do it. So like, you know what? I didn't know how I was going to do it. So I said, you know what? Let's go and do it. So I got there and I cleaned it. Like it was no problem. I'm like, wow, dude, you cleaned that. It's like, the only thing is you put a little too much power. He's like, Kirk's like, finesse, dude, finesse. You don't need to go up there and just power it. Just finesse. Yeah. And the rest of the week, man, I'm like using that finesse that he showed me, and I'm finessing up these huge, you know, like, that's right, the Dead Horse State Park, where there's a bunch of tech. I mean, it's this chunk, big rock climbs and stuff. And I'm like using the finesse, and I get it. Most of them I got up. And so I was like, because I had other people there encouraging me to help me, teach me how to do things. And I mean, again, you can apply it to the Christian world. Okay. You're in a situation like you need other believers, more experienced, more mature believers.